Good morning, everybody. We are continuing on where we left off yesterday on the bottom of Tet Zion Amud Bet toward Jud Zion Amud Aleph. We were discussing about what is the maximal area that is allowed to be enclosed by the walls in order for you to still be able to properly live in the area without there being a too wide of an area that's not. That would disqualify the whole region. Okay, so I'm screen sharing now. You'll see the diagram. So, right. So the question was we were talking about the maximal size, as well as the difference is in, you know, if there's a large gap in the middle, number of people. So, right. So, trying to base that time is the amount of area which you could, you know, plant a certain amount of grain in. To get a bait set out, to get out of it. And so that sends being an area of 70 by 70, 70 a little by 70 and a little, we should lose 500, 5,000 square amot. So that's this region over here. So then we said based on the number of people, it scales up, right? And it can, you know, and it can keep getting larger and larger based on the number of people, as long as there's no empty space that's at least bait set time. So now we're going to continue discussing how exactly does it scale. So okay, so the two dots on the time I'm going to bet. We're going to Rosh Hashanah one Mishum Rabbi and Shmuel Yachid don't need low bets at time. Shnayim don't need low bets at time. Shlosha Nasu Shiarav don't need lohen bet shesh. So Rachman the name of Rabbi Shmuel. So one person gets bets at time. Then there's two. Then he also gets the bates at time, and if there's three, then become considered to be a caravan, and they get total six. So Shavakta Rabban Avadat Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Wait, so does that mean that you don't follow the Chachamim, and now we're following Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda? So right, so what do you mean? Like that's not the way the numbers work. Let's try this again. Hader Ukim Rabban Nachman Amora Ale Vidarch. So then Rabban Nachman, you know, got himself a, you know, Maturgum, somebody to stand over him and help him explain it. Like basically just repeat what he says louder so everyone can hear it better. The ancient version of a microphone, it was a person. So, Dvarim Shamar to the Fnechem Ta'ud Hein Biadi. What you heard before was mistaken. Ram Kacham Rabbi Yachid, this is what I meant to say. This is what the Chacham's opinion is. That Yachid not in Lobetz at time, Shlaim not in Lahen Betz at time, Shlosha Nasu Shiara. Not in the hand called Sarkat. Right? So it's not that it goes one, that goes, you know, two, four, six, and then stops. Rather, it goes two, then another two, and then, it's still two, and then when you get to the size of, when you get to many people, it's going to be a caravan now, then it's as much space as they could possibly need. Right? Called Sarkat. Right, so then let's say they had an insane amount of belongings, then they could have even larger areas used. Okay, now moving on to Zion Aleph, Reisher Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda the Sefer Abanan. Wait, so that would mean that the middle of that statement we switch between the opinion Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda of the Beit Satayim and that of the Rabbanan, which is that of the based on how much space you need. In Mishum Dekai Avu Abishitate. Yes, that's the case because his father follows Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why he's quoting, that's how he holds. Right, so he holds that hybrid Shita. Amar Gidol Marab Shlosha B'chamesh Asurin B'shev Mutarim. So Rav Gidol said in the name of Rav that if there are three people, they can't carry in an area of five beitza, b'sheva mutar, but in seven they would be able to. Wait, did he really say that? That doesn't make sense. Amrulu oraita neviye uktived amr Rav Hachi. He said to them, I swear by the oraita of the Torah, neviim, neviyas neviim, tumim is kumim. He's swearing on Tanakh that this is what I heard Rav say. So Amar Rashi, my gosh, what's the problem? Right, so Rashi says, what's wrong? Dilma Kachemar, maybe this is what he really said. Who's Rukhul Sheish, Vikifu Sheva, Afilu B'Shem Mutar. Maybe what the amendment says that if the group of three needed six, but accidentally ended up surrounding an area of seven beitza, that it's still permissible. But if they had only needed five and they accidentally made a perimeter around seven, and even the five that they're using, they can't do, because now you end up having an empty beitza inside of the region, and that's a problem, right? So as we mentioned before, right in this diagram over here, right? So if this area here is beitza tayim, and that's completely empty and unused, that's going to ruin the entirety of the whole of the enclosure that we're doing with our spring walls. So, okay. So that'd be the problem. El ha'diktani b'levash le'abim it's a time panoi. So, the Brayta said, as stated, you know, as long as the beitza tayim exposed. So what I mean? My la panoi mi'adam? Do we mean that there's nobody standing in that region? Lo, panoi mi'kelum. Not that somebody has to be constantly standing in each area so that way there's no area that doesn't have a person. Rather, it can't be completely empty. The thing that determines it is whether there's a person. They're not a person, but things, right? Utensils. So now we're going to continue on with these cases. So now we're going to talk about how to deal with the, you know, certain number of people got a certain amount of space. So now here's a new case. Itman. Shosha omeit echabim. There's three people which made the mishayar, and then one died. Or if there's two and another person that joins, now it's three people in the region, all happening on Shabbos. So they argue, and they say, what determines the status of the area? One says that Shabbos determines it. So, I mean, as soon as at the outset of Shabbos, you had enough people, that even the person died, it's still fine. On the other hand, the other one says that the people determine it, which would mean that it can change even on Shabbos. Like, if a third person shows up now, then that means that they can now have more space. So now we're going to try to figure out which opinion is which. This time, Rav Huna, Huda Amar, Shabbat Goremet. So we should conclude that Rav Huna is the one who says that it's caused by Shabbos. Why do we say that? Damarava, by Meir Rav Huna, by Meir Rav Huda. So once they ask the question of Rav Huna and Rav Huda, somebody made a area between two houses, and the only way to get in between the two is by way of the only thing that connects the two regions is this area right here. Let's say you got two chaserot, and then the way that you're joining my rishus to another person's rishus, my next door neighbor. We don't share anything, but there's a little gap in our courtyard wall, right? So that's how we can sit in the joint region, because now we can both have access to each other's area. So that only works assuming that area of access is available. Similarly, let's say if there's a window between the two, right? So this is when it's open, and let's say, you know, wall fell down, or, you know, something, like, you know, somebody dumped dirt there. I don't know why they've done that, but something like that happened. Maybe Beaver decided to build a dam there. Or let's say by a window, similar concept. There was a window in the wall, and the window got filled in. Right. So if that happens, so what's the case? So Amar Li Shabbat Hoil Hutra this time. He says since Zerdi Shabbos, that means since it was allowed on Shabbos, it still remains allowed on Shabbos, and that means that once we have permissibility to use it on Shabbos, like when Shabbos starts, meaning that Shabbos is Goremet, and that's the way you should conclude that Rav Huna holds that. So, not so fast. Lema Rav Huna v'Rabbi Yitzchak v'plukta d'Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Yehuda k'mipluki. So maybe Rav Huna and Rabbi Yitzchak are arguing about the opinions of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. So what do we mean by that? So maybe it has nothing to do with you know, Shabbat Goran. Maybe something else. Now, I know it's stated in the Mishnah. If you had a chatzer that had breaches on both ends of it, similarly, if you had a house and two of its walls broke down, So that would be, okay, here we go. Oh, here's that. So show the, here. So we're saying, my name is Mr. Abraham. We don't mean that the two walls fall down. We're saying that that's the word. This is, let's say, the corners, which counts as two sides, right? Because, like, right? Because if walls on both sides were fell down, you probably don't have a house anymore. It's probably all going to fall down. So that would, so, okay? So that's what we're talking about. And similarly, if you had a mavoish, you'd already fix by putting a korah or a lechi or two lechis, or like, depending on the way you fix it. However you fix it, and then somebody comes along and takes whatever you made it a valid area to carry. Utarin loto shabbat v'asurin loti lavod. Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that even if the air falls down, the wall falls down, if the lechi and the korah disappear, it's fine as long as any of these halachic walls fall down. It's fine for that Shabbos, but in the future, it's no good. You have to fix it. Rabbi Yossi Omer, imutarin loto Shabbat mutarin loto lavo bimasurin loti lavo asurin loto Shabbat. Rabbi Yossi says no, as in if it's good now, then it's always good. But if it's no good now, then it's never going to be good again. I mean, sorry, if it's going to be good, bad in the future, right? Then if next job is I can't rely on this current, the way that my walls are set up, the next week I also can't rely on it. Like, there's none of this, you know, like, oh, Shabbos came in and it's fine. It's like, look at my walls. Are my walls there? If the answer is yes, great. If not, then we got a problem. So, Lemar Huna, Dama Krabi Yehuda, Rabbi Yitzchak, Dama Krabi Yossi. So, let's do a straight, you know, let's line them up. So, Rav Huna then holds a Krabi Yehuda that, as long as Shabbos started, it's fine. And the Rabbi Yitzchak has like Rabbi Yossi, who says, no, you view it exactly as it is now. Is it good or is it no good? So Amalek Rahuna, Ana Damrinan, Afil Rabbi Yossi. So Rahuna could say no. Even Rabbi Yossi really agrees with me. Ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Yossi hatam ela delitnu mechitza. When Rabbi Yossi says that case there, that's where there aren't any walls whatsoever. Haka itnu mechitza. But here, right, part of there's a breach on both sides, but there's still most of the wall is still there, so therefore he would agree with my opinion that it would still be kosher. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Rabbi Yitzchak could say, Ana da'amri, afil Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yitzchak would say, so for me, might be more even go Rabbi Yehuda, because why? Ad kam lokama Rabbi Yehuda hatam, ela de'itnu de'yuri. Rabbi Yehuda only stated his opinion when there's actually people living in the area. Haka litnu de'yuri. Right, so then we'd say that you could it would remain kosher, but only if the people are still there. If there's nobody there, then that would not work. So which one is it? So right, so the answer is that really we can't necessarily parallel one argument with the other argument. So. Now we're back to our Mishnah about the vertical and the horizontal use of the poles and of the end of the ropes. So Chachamim Omrim Echad B'Shei Dvarim. So you could use either vertical or horizontal. Heinu Tanakam, is that the same thing as the Tanakam stated? So why would they add? So Ika Benayu Yachid V'Yishuv. No, there is a difference if you're the only. If you're the only person living there, so since the Tanakhama was only talking about the case of a Shayara, you're saying even in a Shayara, it would be fine. Even without a Shayara, right? Because when we read the Mishnah, it sounded like the whole thing was talking about in the case of an encampment. And they're saying, no, it's not the case. Okay, now we're on to the next Mishnah. This is the last Mishnah of our parak. And we'll hopefully be finishing the parak today as well. Okay, so now we're talking about Arba Dvarim Hatruv Ma'achane. There are four special things that you're exempt from when you are living in a camp. So in a military camp, right? So there's a whole. So for more on this, there's a lot of interesting things about the way things happen in a military camp, which we will. So, if you want, so interesting place to look for this is Rama Milcha Malachim, where he starts talking about ways of running state and has a little bit about military affairs. There's also a lot of modern books that talk about this to a far greater extent. But this is, you know, this is one of the places where in the Mishnah Gemara, it comes up bits and pieces here, bits and pieces there, where it explains about things that are different about being in a military camp. Okay, so now what are they? So Mavin Eitzim Mikol Makom. So you're allowed to take wood from anywhere. Uptarim Kitsidayim, they don't have to wash their hands before eating. Umidmai, and from Dmai, which is produce, which is unclear if it had its trumos, something that's trumos mashmas were taken. Umil Arev, and they also don't have to make an Eruv. So all these things that seem to be derabanan that the Chachamim said don't apply in the encampment. So we will see. And now we're gonna discuss in depth what each of these things are and what we're talking about. So Tanur Rabbanan. Machaneh Hayotzei L'Milchama L'Milchamet Rishut Mutarim Begezel Eitzim Yaveshim. So we have the Tosefta stating that a military encampment going for a Milchamet Rishus, meaning it's a voluntary war, meaning it's like for a war for conquering land, but not the land of Israel itself, and not a war that is directly commanded by God.
Rabbi,
yes.
I just wanted to point out that this week's parsha is Ki Tetze.
Correct.
It's quite apropos.
Right. So, and you see, Ki Tetze, also there is a difference between the right in terms of wars, between the degree of restraint we have in the voluntary wars versus meaning we'll allow them to surrender, whereas that option doesn't exist. So within conquering the Shiva Amim and the seven Canaanite nations, that's not an option. So what are you allowed to do in Milchamet Rishus? You're allowed to take whatever dry wood you find. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Omer, Af Chonin B'chol Makom. In addition to that, you're also allowed to camp anywhere you want. Unlike some countries nowadays have laws that no soldiers aren't allowed to quarter. So that's not the case for wars. You can basically pick any place you want to set up your camp. Doesn't matter who's there at the moment. But Makom Shenergu Shamikorian. And also, if somebody passes away in one of these wars, they are entitled to be buried where they fall. And whoever happens to own the plot of land, they can't protest because the person passed away there. That's where they get to get buried. Okay. So now we're going to analyze each part of this Tosefta. Mutarim Begezel Eitzim Yaveshim. So you're allowed to steal the dry wood. Haitakanta Dribishua Hava. So they're permitted to, are they really permitted to, to steal dry wood? So he said, yeah, this is the kind of that Yeshua made in the first 100 years of Israel. Da'amar Mar, Asarim, Tanaim, Hitna, Yeshua, as we have. As we stated elsewhere, that there is a certain Tekana that were instituted by Yehoshua. So now this is a partial list. So a partial list of Shumerim Bechorashim, that that anybody is allowed to graze their animals in the woods, which is belongs to somebody else without them protesting. They're also allowed to pick up wood. They're allowed to gather wood for their own use from other people's fields. So then who needs to say there's a new special with an encampment? This is a general rule for anybody living in the land of Israel. Why are you saying this is a specific thing for when you're at war? So Hatam, Behizmi, Behigi. So why? Because what's the difference there is that Yeshua's Takana only applied to shrubs and thorns, meaning the far less usable of the woods. But when you're at war, even a military one, you're allowed to take any wood, not just the wood that you can never build a house out of shrubs and thorns, but you can make a fire. They say no, any wood. That's the difference when you're at war. Inami, Or you could say another option, Hatam Mechubarin, Hakam Shlushin. Right, so Yeshua said you're allowed to gather the thorns that are still currently attached. But here, we're talking about the ones that are even removed. So, meaning when you're pulling out the thorns and the shrubs, right? So, people's fields that have, they're basically weeds, right? So, you're helping the guy. So, for those you're on a take, but so the ones that are already separated, that might be more beneficial, and like maybe the guy himself could use it for firewood, you should be able to take. Here's that, but and that's the difference between the two. Inami, Hatam Balachin, Hakam Evation. Or maybe they're saying that when are you allowed to take it? When they're still wet. That's what Yeshua allowed. Because that's very far from being usable for the landowner. But here, by or use even the dry ones, which the owner of land could also could use immediately. So I say even those you're allowed to take. So the question basically is to what extent you're allowed to how expansive it is in one case versus the other case. And what are you allowed to do with that be actually considered to be stealing something? Okay. So now we're going to keep addressing other elements of the war camp. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Omer. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema says, Av Chonim b'chol makom. So he says you're allowed to camp wherever you'd like. Makom shenharagin sham nikbarin. And wherever they pass away, that's where they get buried. So that, now we're going to ask about these two points. So primarily the last one. Shita, mei mitzvah. So this is obvious. This is a mei mitzvah. So why would that even, be a question? A mei mitzvah is always called to the land, where he is. A mei mitzvah kon makomo. And a mei mitzvah is where he is. Lo tzvicha, it's needed. Why? Because afal gav to eat like kovrin. It's saying this is a case where person has somebody who, the person who passed away in the war, he has somebody who take care of it. Tanya, right? So Tanya is a mit mitzvah. So as we stated, what is a mit mitzvah? Whoever doesn't have anybody to bury them. So when we're saying that that somebody is a mit mitzvah, it's not that it's a very specific case. It's where somebody has nobody to take care of them. It's not some. Right, so we have thought that mit mitzvah is only for, they're saying that even though this doesn't fit the normal category of mit mitzvah, it still is fine. So, and the question you made is that this is like, let's say, so what do we mean when you say that nobody is going to take care of him? So, kore v'acherim Onamoto and the mit mitzvah. So how would you know whether or not this is the case? Sorry. So how would you know that whether or not this is truly a mit mitzvah or not? So normally you'd say you try and ask around, call out loudly. Does anybody know who this person is? Is there anybody who can take care of him? And then if you were met with silence, so if somebody can answer, and it's not a mit mitzvah because that means that somebody else can take care of it because somebody is around. But if there's nobody else there, then it falls onto you. So the area of what is considered to be a mit mitzvah is rather relatively limited. That's what we're operating with. So now we're gonna keep discussing the halachot of a mit mitzvah. Okay, so mit mitzvah kanam akomo. And does a mit mitzvah really acquire the place where he passed away? Hatanya hamotzi mit mutal b'sratya. Fanayu lemin esratya ol esmol esratya. So who's to say that he always gets the place where he passed away and is found? And it's on bright that somebody finds a dead body on a major highway, that's a sriracha, right? So sriracha, a small sriracha. He moves him to the right or left of the street, but you don't bury him on the actual street itself. You move him. So, right, and now we're going to give, so, right, so, let's say, so now it's removing him. So, stay bor, who stay near. Let's say you've got a, let me see if there's a diagram of this. Okay, let me reshare my screen. There is a diagram of this one. Okay, everybody sees here, this is where there are multiple here. So here, so basically we started off with the, you know, we have the main road. Right? This is the, you know, the main highway, somebody passes away on it. Oftentimes, like, so where are you supposed to bury him? You're supposed to bury him on the road? No, you're supposed to bury him to the side. So now we're like, okay, wait, so now that we decided that we're not burying him in the middle of the road, we're going to bury him off to the side of the road. How are we going to do that? Go to the right or the left? So what's located on the right? So stay more, stay near. So on one side we have a uncultivated field, and on one side we have a plowed field. I mean, the person's currently using it. But when I was stay more, you should move him to the uncultivated field. Stay near or stay there. If you have a plowed field and a stone field, if you have a choice between a fully stone field versus one that's, you know, basically it's plowed but not fully done yet, you do it to the one that's just plowed but not yet fully planted and grown in. So higher shtem nirot, let's say both of them were the same, the right and left. Shtem nirot, shtem zerot, shtem burot, both of them were simply plowed, both of them were fully seeded, both of them were completely uncultivated, so you can put them to either side. So the point of this whole statement here is to say that you actually don't get precisely where you are, where the person passed away is. He gets, you know, a region very close by, but he doesn't get that exact location. At least not every case. So, therefore it turns out that either main mitzvah can be moved. So Amar Bibi, right? So what's the case where you'd say you'd be able to get the right? So what's the case instead? It's that where the dead body is on the side of it. Right? So basically here. So meaning, so the difference between whether or not the body is laid out in such a way that if you were to, let's say it's not the longest road, it's only, you know, about as long as a person. So therefore, if you bury the person exactly where he's sitting right now, you've got a problem, because now the whole road is going to be his. There'll be a dead body in the road. And why is there a dead body road problem? The problem is then, is because a Kohen can't cross over this road now. So that's a real problem. It also creates major headaches for when people are keeping Tumah Tahara. Not that the Kohen can't cross over the road, but it also means that basically anybody who's Tahor would then become Tameh, and they wouldn't necessarily notice that. That would be pretty bad. So Mitoch Shenitna Reshut Lefanotu Min HaMetzar B'Vnayel Kol Roch Shirtza. So since he's in an area which will end up ostering the area for many other people's usage, that's why we allow the moving of the mitzvah. But if not for that, then he would have been acquired where he passed away. So therefore, right, he really does acquire so the answer is like he really does acquire, just there's like, you know, one case where he doesn't. So now the next statement we'd had in the Mishnah of Uptur Mikitsidaim, right? And now they are patur from washing their hands. Now, what do you mean by that? So Amar Abaye, Lo Shanu Elamayim Rishon, Malam Achranim Choba. So Abaye says, they're only talking about washing your hands before you eat. Let's say before you eat bread, or back in the time of Mikdash, before you would eat fruits and vegetables as well. But for Mayim Achronim, is a chova, it's a requirement. When you wash your hands after you eat, that's before you bench, that's a requirement. You have to. So Amar Rechia Bar Avashi, Mipneima Amar Mai Makornim Chova. So now, Rechia Bar Avashi asks, so why do we state that Mai Makornim is considered to be a requirement? Mipnei Shemelach Somet Yesh, Shemesamet Tenayim, because there is something called sodomite salt, and if you were to get it in your eyes, it'll blind you. So that's why you have to Mai Makornim. So, Amar Bae, Umishdaka Kakurta Mekura. And what is the amount that we're worried about of Melach Domit? We're worried about even if you have a single, the proportion of a single grain in a an entire core of other salt. Meaning, so that's a very, so, remember, like a bait. So, It's one grain out of a bushel, so it's a very small proportion. So Amrle Rabacha Bre Derava Laravashi Kail Milcha Mai. So then Rabacha, the son of Rava, said Ravashi, what if you measured out the amount of salt? Right? And you weren't eating, do you still need to wash your hands? So Amrle Lomabai. It's unnecessary to say this because obviously if you've been putting your hands in the salt, let's say your job is to measure out salt and give to people. Let's say you worked in a store and that's the giant container of salt. Somebody comes and is buying, you know, a little bit, so you measure some out for him. So of course then you'd have to wash your hands because that's even more so because there's way more salt there than there is elsewhere. So there's a question nowadays of Hakmasa, are you supposed to do my Makronim? So that's a subject of great debate. So then some say that you really should, and some say that that's largely based on when you're actually eating with your hands, as opposed to when you're eating with utensils, because then the odds of you actually getting your hands dirty and getting any salt in your eyes is far less. But in any event, if your hands are actually dirty than the meal, whether or not you've had salt or anywhere near there, you should still wash your hands. For more on this, we could address that another time or ask me afterwards. Okay, Midmai. So they're also butchered from Dmai when they're in the military camp. So Bitnan, as it's stated in the Mishnah, Machilat Tanin Dmai Vatafsanai Dmai. Stated in the Mishnah, you can feed four people Dmai and also to your guests Dmai. So Amar Ravuna, Tan Bitchamay Omrim. So then we have Beit Shammai says, but you can't feed Dmai to poor people or to your guests. And on the other hand, we have Beit Hillel says, you can. Because again, this isn't like necessarily feeding them actual. A little bit of Dmai. Dmai isn't that it's actually usur. Dmai is... Basically, in the time of Bayit Sheni, there were people living in Israel. Not everybody was so scrupulous. There were people also called Amei Haaretz, who were, some would translate them as, you know, like the average person, but there were people who weren't necessarily as scrupulous as others. So if somebody was going to buy from these Amei Haaretz, those people weren't necessarily as scrupulous. You weren't sure.
Excuse me, Rabbi. I'm losing the connection.
Is anyone else having issues? Or
seems okay. Sorry, okay. Joel.
Okay, so it's me. Okay, I'm sorry.
All good. So, right. So yeah, Dmai isn't really usher. It's just the case is basically they weren't sure if they were properly separating out Trumot Masra. So the Rabbanon, they said that it's this category of Dmai. But they said, but really, and the reason why poor people allowed to have it as well as you can fit your guys is because really, well, they almost always will be separating out Truma, which is the thing that would make it usher with the Chiyav. All right. So since that's out the window, that's for sure out the window. And also, yeah, they probably most of them, yeah, a decent portion probably also do separate the rest of Masra as well. So that's why we're making there. Because it's not a true suffix. It's somewhere in between. For more on that, see Hilchot Dmai. Maybe you should add it to mine for more discussion of that. So Umilah Wraith, and they're prevented from making an Eruv. So Amri de Bay Rabianai says, so this is statement from the school of Rabianai. Lo Shanu Ella Eruv Chatzero. They're only putter for making an Eruv Chatzero, meaning to allow that if, let's say, you're surrounded by walls, normally you're going to make an Eruv Chatzero to allow everybody located within to carry in that region. Although Eruv Tchumen Chayavin, but they would be chayav to make an Eruv Tchumen if they wanted to walk to change their center of living from being where their campment is to being somewhere else, then they would have to set up an Eruv Tchumen for that purpose. Tanar Beshia Lokin al Eruv Tchumen Dvar Torah. So why is that the case? So Rabbi Chiya says because Eretz Kumen is deoraita. So therefore that's why to me that everything in the Mishnah is derabanan, and so therefore that's why you get out of Eretz Hatzera because Eretz Hatzera and the whole issue of Erevin for stop purposes is all derabanan, but Tchumen is actually deoraita, so for Tchumen is deoraita, therefore that wouldn't apply. So the Makiv La Rabbi Yonatan, Chilokan Alav Shabbal, and then Rabbi Yonatan asks, wait, can you really be looking for Elav, which simply says Al, like Al Yitzei Ish Bim Kumo, right? Is that really that from that pasuk? Is that really sufficient to make you get Malko? So Makiv La Rabbi Yonatan Bar Yaakov. And so then Rabbi Yaakov asks, Elamata, rather you learn that from here. Al Tibnil Avot Vayidunim, Hakanami Blalaki. So you're saying that you wouldn't get, you say that Al is insufficient to give you Malko. And what about if somebody was violated, magic of Ov, Mata Vidoni, right? Meaning the ghosts or of the, different types of Ov is the one who speaks out of the rock, speaking out of bones. So, right, different types of magic. So, would you not get Malka for that? So, Rabbi Yonatan Hakikashali. Now, here's what the real problem was. Lav Shnitan Lazhar Midat Basin. If there's a lav, but you'll also end up there's also a capital offense that basically can kill you for. So, Vechol Lav Shnitan Lazhar Midat Basin and Lokin Alav. And in any place where there's a lav, but if you were to violate it with proper hatra and aidim, with proper warning and witnesses, then you'd be being put to death. That would mean that if you were to have done the item, if you have done the iser, then the violated the law without having those things, you would not get malka for that. So Amar Ravashi. So now Ravashi is asking on this. Miktiv al yotzi. Wait. Is it really, so he says, when we're talking about the pasuk that we're learning from, of Al Yotzi Ish Mikomo, right? So what does the pasuk say? It doesn't say Al Yotzi. Al Yotzi, instead of saying Al Yotzi that you shouldn't carry, instead it says, you shall not go out. So that would mean that, which is Aser Midaraita, which is Aser Midarabanan. So from here, it seems like it's Aser Midaraita to do for Tchumen, but Hotzah is only Asur Midrabanan. So, okay, so now, and Hadron Allah, Mavoy. Okay, so we finish the pack. So I'm going to summarize, and then I'm going to give a little bit on the question of is Erev, Dereita or Drabanan? So, yeah, to summarize we've been talking about for the past stuff, we spoke a little bit about the case of the maximum area that's allowed to be enclosed by the walls of your Eruv. And we concluded then in the end that it's up to, for individuals, up to Beit Satayim, and then it scales up based on the amount that you need. Just make sure you don't leave a gap of Beit Satayim. And we also discussed the case of military encampment and how you put this return to the Drabanan. How your punter from wood about washing your hands before you eat, about, you know, having to worry about demise, you bought produce from Amalareth, and about worrying about having to make an aerial class A road when you are encamped. So, question of is, so that, that now, so the, now to the question of is Erevin, Doraita or Midrabanan? So that's, subject to a, let's see, one second, let me pull that. Here we go. Okay, so let me share a different screen. So you can hear my notes from, this is the notes from when I was going over, from when I was learning Erevin last year. Again, for a full treatment of this, I will hopefully have an article coming out, and when it is available, I will be sending it to everybody. So here we go. So the question of is it Doraita? So there's a couple of cases that support it being Doraita. One is the Gemara in Sota about Arei Levim. Another one is the Gemara Yerushalmi, which you mentioned on the first day about based on Machaneh Yisrael, based on the way that the Jews can't desert, therefore it also seemed like it's Doraita. And then there's the hybrid sheet that there's part that are Doraita and Derabanan. That means that Yud Beis meal is Doraita, and that there's thousand amot that we're going to be talking about a lot in terms of Tchumen is, right? So, right, so again, this is just for Tchumen. For Erevin, right, so that appears, and outside, it's one of the malachot, so either way, this still has to be Doraita, whether or not it's got a separate legal. Okay, we're not talking about Tchumen, right? The question, like, is it Asher Midoraita? So these are all the supports for saying that why it is. So this argument which we just quoted, that you get Malkot Midoraita. There's also the Gemara on Daphne Alf, we'll get to in a couple of weeks, that there's a Xer Shabbat teachings about Alpaim Amma, which would imply that even the Alpaim Amma of Tchum is Midoraita. There's also the Gemara in Sota, where we have Rabbi Akiva learns it out based on the Arei Levim, that just like the Levim have 2,000 Amot surrounding their cities, therefore we have 2,000 Amot for Tchum. And we also have the Gemara Shadus that says that Tchumen may have been commanded to Bnei Israel at Mara, which would imply when we first got Mitzvot of the Torah. So that would imply that it's Midoraita. Another option is for why we think that everything is Durabano, which is the other side, which is not what this Gemara is a very strong support for why we think it's Doraita. And compare it, like, why, you know, Eretz Kumen is supposed to Eretz Katsera, very strong support why it's Doraita. But it might be Durabano. So that we learn out from, right, so when we had the Machloket between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim in Sota. So when you have Rabbi Akiva, who says it's Doraita, and the Chachamim saying it's Durabano, normally you'd paskin like the Rabbanan. So that's why you'd think that Tchumen is Midrabbanan. And then we have, so the question of, you know, and there's also Gemara in Beitza, Taflam Levavim Beck, which says, Lo Stamku Gzera Lekolo Gav Behema, Ela Al Shash, right? So basically there, it's a question of why, it's usher to ride an animal on Shabbos. And why is usher ride an animal on Shabbos? So initially they tried to make it usher because of Tchum, but then they said no because of Enosim Zera Lebzera, which would imply, which means that what the problem is that Tchumen is really Durabanan, and that's why you can't make an Zera against horse riding because of Tchumen, because it means Tchumen is Durabanan. So, and at the end of the day, who says what? So at the end of the day, we've got a lot of big hitters on each side. So we've got the, as he's saying direct, we've got the Shilto, the Rif, the Rambam, the Ravid, the Ravya, and the Sefer Chinuch. And as you'll say, it's the Rabbanon, we have the Bala Maor, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, and Tosfot. So, as far as this Kuman directed to Rabbanon, it actually is subject to a lot of discussion. And it has a lot of nachbinas on halacha in terms of whether or not you would be allowed to apply certain kulas would affect very differently whether or not you're dealing with an isser d'oraita or an isser d'rabbanan. So that is finishes our conclusion of the first parak of Erevin, and I'm looking forward to keep learning the rest with everybody as well.
Go ahead. Thank you.
So I take it there's no resolution. Derisa Rabbanan.
There's no true resolution, no.
So I've got to go. Thank you very much. Take care. We'll see you tomorrow. Be well. All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you again. Bye.
Bye.